Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The words for our consideration. Mark 14, verses 55 through 65. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple and in 3 days build another, not made by man. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. And then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, Prophesy. And the guards took him away and beat him. The word of the Lord. Friends in Christ, in late 1990, a construction crew in Israel unearthed an ossuary, a box of bones. But this ossuary was extraordinary. It was made of highly ornate and decorated limestone. Usually they're not nearly elaborate, but usually they're made out of wood. On two sides of the ossuary there was the name Caiaphas. The contents inside that box were verified to be the bones of a first century AD man that lived to about 60 years old. Both the internal and the external evidence suggest to us we have the remains of the man who condemned Jesus of Nazareth to death for the sin of blasphemy. I hope you appreciate what an astonishing archaeological find that is. To look at the outside of that box in all of its beauty and in all of its intricate carving, it would suggest that Caiaphas was a pious and devoted and faithful servant of God. But the contents of that box, the rotting bones, that suggests something different. Late on Thursday night of Holy Week, Jesus was captured in Gethsemane. And he was taken over to the southwest corner of Jerusalem. And there he was taken to the residence of Annas, who was high priest until about 15 years before this took place. The Romans deposed him because he was so corrupt. But nonetheless, a sort of pre-trial hearing was held before Annas. And Annas was not very successful at prying anything out of Jesus. So more than likely, Jesus was simply moved across the courtyard to the official high priest's residence. And there, Caiaphas called members of the Sanhedrin. Caiaphas was the official high priest at the time. We might guess that because he's younger, perhaps he might be a little bit kinder, maybe a little bit more sincere in his office. Maybe he would execute his office with a bit more innocence than Annas did. Not so. From everything that we can read about Caiaphas in the Gospels, he was a scoundrel. He was cold, he was calculating, completely ruthless. He should have taken his office very seriously, but it appears as though he wanted what he wanted and he wasn't going to stop until he got what he wanted. Nothing was sacred to him. He wanted Jesus of Nazareth gone. So ironic it is. The man who holds the highest office, the highest religious office in Israel, is a sham. He was supposed to represent God, and the only person and whose interest he would represent is his own. There is a word for pretending. You're pretending to be something that you're not. When you give the appearance of having virtue, but in reality, you're vile. You're corrupt. The word that we use is hypocrite. And that is a word that describes Caiaphas probably better than any. Caiaphas, a man filled with hypocrisy who condemned Jesus of Nazareth. We don't highlight that this evening so that we can condemn Caiaphas, and we certainly don't highlight it so that we can congratulate ourselves. We delve into the sin of hypocrisy this evening. We want to examine our own hearts most intimately. We want to see how we have been guilty of having hands of hypocrisy. Just as we mentioned before, Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin in the middle of the night, and this was more than something that was a bit peculiar. It was illegal. All court transactions and hearings in Israel were supposed to happen during the daylight. But the intended goal of this gathering was not to try to find out the truth. It was trying to take and manufacture evidence, whether it's true or not, evidence that would lead to the conviction of Jesus of Nazareth so they wouldn't have to worry about him anymore. But there was a problem. The Sanhedrin couldn't come up with any dirt on Jesus because he was clean. Well, actually, he was perfect. So how do you convict someone of a capital crime who's perfect? Well, you try the trick that any good lawyer would use. You try to use his words against him. So witnesses are brought forward. What are some of the things that you heard this man say? They were contradicting each other. Then they could get a few people, two of them, to say, "We heard him say something about destroying this temple and raising it in 3 days." He didn't really have the story exactly right. Some time ago, early in his ministry, Jesus had spoken words to that effect, but he was talking about his body that he would raise from the dead in 3 days, not about the physical building of the temple. False witnesses were contradicting themselves, and because that was the case, Jesus didn't have to answer anything. At that point in time, the trial was a mess. And the leader of this mess of a trial was Caiaphas. He's clearly upset. Who is he upset with more? Is he upset with Jesus or is he upset with his peers for botching the best chance they've got to get rid of Jesus? It really doesn't matter. He took matters into his own hands. He spoke directly to Jesus. Are you going to answer or not? Speak to this testimony about what these men are bringing against you. there was no answer from Jesus. Once again, their testimony is conflicting. He doesn't need to speak. So Caiaphas raises the stakes. He puts Jesus under solemn oath. He demands an answer too. Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? A simple yes or no seems easy enough. But that question has horns in it, devilish horns. Jesus couldn't say no, he'd be lying. Jesus couldn't remain quiet. Jesus realized what was happening. He knew the horrible consequences if he were to say yes. And still, in spite of that, he answers, "Yes, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now was not the time for silence from Jesus. Now was the moment of truth, and truth would come from his mouth, no matter how it would be used against him. Now was the time for God's plan to save us, to kick into high gear, and to come full circle. When Caiaphas heard Jesus' answer, his heart must have been overjoyed, but he couldn't show it. No, instead he took his hands of hypocrisy and in righteous indignation, he rips his robes. "You've heard it yourselves. Can't you hear it? He's spoken blasphemy." Blasphemy. Jesus of Nazareth claims before us to be the Son of God. An honest judge would have then examined the evidence of Jesus' claim. Speak to it, speak to it. Has he done anything that a Messiah would do, like perform miracles? Has he spoken anything like the Messiah would, with authority and clarity and truth? None of that. Caiaphas is not the honest judge that he pretends to be. All he is a monstrous manipulator who only cares about his own power and his own position. It's kind of interesting that just at that moment then, the other hypocrites in the room take off their masks. Normally, the men of the Sanhedrin were men who were polished. They were professional. They treated their role with high dignity, but not now. Suddenly, they turn into an out-of-control mob. They all condemned him as worthy of death, and then some began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him and struck him with their fists and said, "Prophesy," spitting into a man's face. Attacking a man who can't defend himself because he's tied up. Blindfolding someone so he can't see where the blows are coming from. It's a disturbing sight. Very much in line with the disturbing things that Pastor Heise presented us last week. Yes, the mask comes off. We see these men for who they really are. What explains all of this hypocrisy? Here's what explains it. Jesus turned the world of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin upside down. Instead of bowing down to their greatness, Jesus called them to repent. He called them whitewashed tombs. He called them a brood of vipers. He called them sons of snakes. And the reason why he did it wasn't simply to try to accuse them or make them feel bad. He He called them out for their hypocrisy. Not to embarrass them, he did it because he cared for them. He wanted them to see the error of their ways. He wanted them to see that he, in fact, is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Their hypocritical self-righteousness was only going to bring them condemnation. When Jesus prophesied to the high priest that he would see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, he was pointing out a most serious truth to Caiaphas. The roles would be reversed. Caiaphas, the judge, would be the judged. And with these words of warning, Jesus was calling Caiaphas and all the Sanhedrin to repent. But they rejected the invitation. And here we see from Caiaphas the inherent danger of hypocrisy. The hypocrite only cares about the things that are on the surface. The hypocrite simply wants to protect the shiny, the impressive image that other people see. He has no concern with the rot that's going on inside of him or her. No one is to see what's going on inside here. Let no one see you sweat, as they say. As far as the hypocrite is concerned, there's no need for repentance because there are no real sins to repent of. But God wants you and me to believe something different. God wants you and me to ponder those personal imperfections that we're only acutely aware of. He wants us to live the spiritual truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So what is the self-deception that you're vulnerable to? What is your particular slice of the guilt of hypocrisy? Are you guilty of being one of those people that says, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm certainly not as bad as she is or he is? Guilty of that? You've probably heard the criticism from someone that the church is just a place that's full of hypocrites. And you know what your best response is when somebody says that to you? You say, you're right. And I'm one of them. Pastors have been known to doctor reports so that it covers over some of the weaknesses of their ministry. Teachers have been known to soften grades so that they don't have to have that confrontation with an angry parent. Parents and grandparents have been known to lie about their former days so that their children never find out about the fact that they've done the very things wrong their children are doing wrong. I've had several people admit to me, yeah, one of the reasons why I'm not in church with the rest of people isn't really because I'm so much afraid of getting sick. I just prefer to kind of stay sitting comfortable, not having to get cleaned up to go to church. You know, whether it's falsified IRS forms or drinking and drug cover-ups, adults having temper tantrums and angry rages, whatever they are, the hypocrisy fills our lives just as it did for Caiaphas. Every person, every Christian is guilty of hypocrisy. And if that's the case, then what separates us from Caiaphas? What makes us different? What, or really more precisely, who that makes us different from the hypocrites around Jesus' trial is Jesus. Jesus not only calls us to repent, he also doesn't do so in an effort to embarrass us. He simply wants to warn us not to go down the path of Caiaphas. He says there's something good about stopping your pretending that you don't have sin, that you're not flawed like all the other people. Jesus calls us, take off the mask. Admit to people who you are, even if it involves bringing a little embarrassment, even if you end up looking bad in someone else's eyes. Because the point of our life is not how we look in other people's eyes. The point is to look, to be looked at through the eyes that God sees us with. That our righteousness is not resident in us. Our righteousness is something that comes from Jesus and Him alone. A beautiful white limestone box. Something dug up in Israel suggests that a saint was buried there. But the rotting bones testify to a different story. A hypocritical high priest presided over a sham of a trial. But our great high priest will not preside over such an affair. Even though he was mistreated, even though he predicted that it would happen, he still answered them. He still spoke the truth, and he had to, so that he could be the only way that our lives could be saved. Jesus, our great high priest, began the rescue mission at that moment because he wasn't concerned about his life. He was only concerned about your life, to save your soul from more sins than you could list, and yes, to save your hands of hypocrisy from judgment. Jesus spoke the truth. He testified to the truth because He is the truth. He is the truth that sets us free from our hands of hypocrisy. Amen.